bridegroom when he shall return from the wedding. You have not a moment to lose in neglect of the great salvation that has been provided to you. The time of probation of souls is coming to an end. If you look around you and see everything that's happening in this world, I know most of us don't have TV. We do get our news from the internet, and if you check out Brother Nick's website, it's amazing at all the things that are happening that are coming to fruition. Famines, rumors of wars, pestilence, all these things. It's almost to the point where Brother Nick doesn't have enough room to keep all of this. I know in one section, as far as accidents and things like that, he's already started to just summarize on that one section. But it's happening. It's happening a lot. And these are the birth pangs. It's coming. And our Lord will be coming very soon. Continuing from day to day, the destiny of men is being sealed. And even from this congregation, we know not how soon many shall close their eyes in death and be habited for the tomb. We should now consider that our life is swiftly passing away, that we are not safe one moment unless our life is hid with Christ in God. Hold tight to the Lord. Our duty is not to be looking forward to some special time for some special work to be done for us, but to go forward in our work of warning the world, for we are to be witnesses of Christ to the uttermost parts of the world. All around us are the young, the impenitent, the unconverted, and what are we doing for them? Parents, in the ardor of your first love, are you seeking for the conversion of your children, or are you engrossed with the things of this life to such an extent that you are not making earnest efforts to be laborers together with God? Our children are going to be the ones that are going to be carrying on the work of the Lord if the Lord comes in their time. And we need to prepare them for this great work. Do you have an appreciation of the work and mission of the Holy Spirit? Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is the agency whereby we are to reach the souls of those around us? When this meeting shall close, will you go from here and forget the earnest appeals that have been made to you? Will the messages and warnings be left unheeded and the truth you have heard leak out of your heart as water leaks out of a broken vessel? The apostle says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just and confident recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. From Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The third angel's message is swelling into a loud cry, and you must not feel at liberty to neglect the present duty and still entertain the idea that at some future time you will be the recipients of great blessing, when without any effort on your part, a wonderful revival will take place. Today you are to give yourselves to God that he may make you vessels unto honor and meet for his service. Today you are to give yourself to God that you may be emptied of self, emptied of envy, jealousy, evil surmisings, strife, everything that shall be dishonoring to God. Today, you are to have your vessel purified, that it may be ready for the heavenly dew, ready for the showers of the latter rain. For the latter rain will come, and the blessing of God will fill every soul that is purified from every defilement. It is our work today to yield our souls to Christ, that we may be fitted for the time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, fitted for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is from the Review and Herald, March 22nd, 1892. The next section is The Time Not Revealed. And it says, God has not revealed to us the time when this message will close, when one probation will have an end. Those things that are revealed we shall accept for ourselves and for our children, but let us not seek to know that which has been kept secret in the counsels of the Almighty. It is our duty to watch and work and wait, to labor every moment for the souls of men that are ready to perish. Stopping right there, can you imagine those followers of Christ that if they knew the exact day and hour when Christ would return, how many would be out there in the world right now saying, I've got this much time, I can go out and do what I want, do this, and I'll repent later. I believe that's why God keeps his secret. No man knows the day or the hour, not even just the Father in heaven. Going on, we are to keep walking continually in the footsteps of Jesus, working in his lines, dispensing his gifts as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Satan will be ready to give to anyone who is not learning every day of Jesus a special message of his own creating in order to make no effect the wonderful truth for this time. Letters have come to me asking me if I have any special light as to the time when probation will close, and I will answer that I have only this message to bear, that it is now time to work while the day lasts, for the night cometh in which no man can work. Now, just now, it is time for us to be watching, working, and waiting. The word of the Lord reveals the fact that the end of all things is at hand, and its testimony is most decided that it is necessary for every soul to have the truth planted in his heart so that it will control the life and sanctity of the character. The Spirit of the Lord is working to take the truth of the inspired word and stamp it upon the soul, so that professed followers of Christ will have a holy, sacred joy that they will be able to impart to others. The opportune time for us to work is now, just now, while the day lasts. But there is no command for anyone to search the Scripture in order to ascertain, if possible, when probation will close. God has no such message for any mortal lips. He would have no mortal tongue declare that which he has hidden in his secret counsels. And this is from the Review and Herald, October 9, 1894. Moving on, we have the next section is Watch and Pray. I have no specific time of which to speak when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will take place, when the mighty angel will come down from heaven and unite with the third angel in closing up the work for this world. My message is that our only safety is in being ready for the heavenly refreshing, having our lamps trimmed and burning. Christ has told us to watch for such an hour as ye think not, or as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Watch and pray is a charge that is given us by our Redeemer. Day by day, we are to seek the enlightenment of the Spirit of God that it may do its office, work upon the soul and character. Oh, how much time has been wasted through giving attention to trifling things. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. A Review and Herald, March 29, 1982. Okay, Brother Ace, you got it.
All right. This title here is in Chapter 24. It's from a selected message, book 1, page 193. And this heading here says, chapter 24, the Alpha and the Omega. And it says here, during the summer of 1904, at a critical point in a crisis over the promulgation by Dr. J.H. Kellogg of pantheistic theories, and at a time when he was advocating unsound policies relating to the management of our medical work, Ellen G. White sounded a number of warnings which were assembled and published for the author in a 60-page pamphlet, Special Testimonies Series B, number 2, entitled Testimonies for the Church, containing letters to physicians and ministers giving messages of warning and words of counsel and admonition regarding our present situation. In two of these communications, she refers to the Alpha and the Omega, following are the two statements in their entirety as taken from the pamphlet. For the councils making reference to pantheism may be found in Testaments for the Church, 8:22 to 3:18, and the Ministry of Healing, pages 427 through 438. And it also says here, for the background of experience with pantheism, see A.G. Daniels' Abiding Gift of Prophecy, pages 330, 342, and L.H. Christian's Compilers. All right. So we have here, the title here is Teach the Word. Teach the Word. And it's Washington, D.C., July 24th, 1904, to our leading physicians. It says, Dear fellow worker, I am awakened at 11 o'clock. The representations passing before me are so vivid that I cannot sleep. The word of the Lord has come to me that there is a decided work to be done in warning our medical missionaries against the dangers and perils that surround them. The Lord calls upon those connected with our sanitariums to reach a higher standard. No lie is of the truth. If we follow cunningly devised fables, we unite with the enemy's forces against God and Christ. God calls upon those who have been wearing a yoke of human manufacture to break this yoke and no longer be the bond servants of men. The battle is on. Satan and his angels are working with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. They are untiring in their efforts to draw souls away from the truth and away from righteousness to spread ruin throughout the universe. They work with marvelous industry to furnish a multitude of deceptions to take souls captive. Their efforts are unceasing. The enemy is ever seeking to lead souls into infidelity and skepticism. He would do away with God and with Christ, who was made flesh and dwelt among us, to teach us that in obedience to God's will, we may be victorious over sin. Amen. You know, she wrote this back then, and we think about now. And she wrote then, the battle is on, and Satan is working with all his cunning ability, all his craftiness. And I think as we continue and strive to walk in present truth today, for those of us who go out there and are actually mingling in the streets, mingling in conversations, or whether it's on YouTube or among our Christian brethren, we like to say, around this world, we can see the craftiness of Satan and all these new religions that are springing out, or separated brethren from the once true pillars of faith. And we see how Satan is, knowing that his time is so short, he's pulling out every possible deceivable ability that he has to stray away the ones who once were striving so hard to stay in his word. We see these crazy doctrines, these fanatical doctrines that are appearing or reappearing. You know, these are things that was in the world then when Paul was teaching this, and Paul talked about how Antichrist was in the world then. You know? And all Satan does is reinvent the same lie. He changes the face so we don't see it. You know? Whether it's at a time it was Catholicism, and when they came over and the persecution was taking place and they were leaving in boats to get away from this church and state power, this miry clay that was mixing in that Daniel talked about. And so we get this craftiness of Satan where he reinvents these different lies, the same lie, but it's covered. The face is changed, and you see these Mormons spring about in this time period. And then you see the Christovians spring about. And then you see the Jehovah Witnesses spring about, and Herbert Armstrong, you know. And he doesn't stop. He continues. We have to be very careful, brethren, even among us, that it doesn't happen to us. We have to stay in the Word. That's our only safeguard, is staying in that Word. And as we just read, knowing that Satan still has many more to come. I mean, there's going to be this great deception that he will put upon the minds of the Christian world today. As the Jews missed him that first time, if Christians aren't careful today, they will miss him also, because they're not in his word. And this is our only safeguard, is by understanding the prophecies, understanding how the events of how the Lord will come, you know, dissecting the things that Christ, as he walked among us and was made flesh, and he taught us these things, you know, he taught us that we must yield to the Father. He taught us that the commandments are love, and as he did it, we must do it also, you know, but we can find victory through him. Yeah. Good night, sister. Good night. And yes, you know, that is how we find victory in life, through Christ, through obedience and through accepting our Lord and Savior. The blessings will be given, that we don't become deceived. We will continue to stay in his word. I'm going to continue here. It says, assailed by every form of evil. It says, every form of evil is awaiting for an opportunity to assail us. Flattery, bribes, inducements, promises of wonderful exaltation will be mostly assiduously employed. What are God's servants doing to raise the barrier of a thus saith the Lord against the evil? The enemy's agents are working unceasingly to prevail against the truth. Remember, Satan's going to attack our character too. You know, there are times when we're going to fall short. And the Satan just puts snares before us. He puts these nets before us. And we got to make sure, as we walk with Christ and knowing that everything that we do is in his hands, there's someone that's out there looking to take us off that righteous path of Christ. So we have to be careful here. We are the faithful guardians of the Lord's flocks. Oh, where are the faithful guardians of the Lord's flocks? Excuse me. Where are his watchmen? Are they standing on the high tower, given the danger signal? Or are they allowing the peril to pass unheeded? You know, we take this main page that Brother Nick puts out on the main page of the Remnant of God.org. You look at all those daily events. I know Brother David touched on this just a little while ago. I mean, the things that are taking place, if we didn't have our watchmen, if we didn't have Brother Nick, you know, if the Lord did not choose him, and we pray for him daily, you know, that none of us veer off that path, it allows us to see what is taking place on this earth each and every day. The Lord gives him the discernment. The Holy Spirit has pressed upon him the discernment of all these things. We have the news today that tells us how the events are taking place. And they tell us what they want us to believe, you know? But we have to be very careful. Who are the agents behind these big conglomerate entities? Who is part of this mainstream media that presents this information for us? But the Lord has raised us, you know, a watchman in these times of peril, that we should not be deceived by these events that are taking place every day. Yeah, and yes, these calamities that take place, you know. That main page, you know, I pray that each and everyone take a time during the day, or at least a couple times during the week, and see what is taking place. Is this not paralleling the times of Noah that Jesus spoke about? The days, all everything that was taking place prior to. And it is. You know, we have an opportunity today to hasten the Lord's coming. But do we strive unto perfection? Do we want to be servants for the Lord? You know, she says here, we're the faithful guardians of the Lord's flocks. We are his watchmen. Not man, but men. You know, we see the watchmen in a plural form here. It's not left for one person to do, to reach the entire world. The Lord didn't give it just to Peter or just to Paul, you know. He gave it to many, you know, and we have Christianity today from that. If we are striving to stand to be part of the Gideon band, if we are striving to be part of his one fold, his one flock, his 144,000, you know, it takes more than one, but it starts with your character. She writes and continuing here, they are standing on the high tower, given the danger signal? Or are they allowing the peril to pass unheeded? Where are the medical missionaries? I mean, if there's some among us that the Lord has blessed you in your lifetime, you know, to have this knowledge and this gift of understanding how the body works, how the Lord designed us. The Lord gave you this gift. He gave you the time, you know, to go through these universities, college, where you've been given this understanding, and He has given this book. He also gives us discernment of the homeopathic, of the herbal medication, the things in which He gives to this world. The Lord can use you too. You know, the Lord needs you. He needs you to be part of the, not only the loud cry, but He needs you to be part of the ones helping His children, keeping them healthy. You know, we all have a job. We all have different gifts the Lord gives us. She writes, are they co-workers with Christ, wearing His yoke? Or are they wearing the yoke of human manufacture? Satan and his angels are making every effort to obtain to control minds. He gives us entertainment so our minds just veer off, you know, that path of righteousness. You know, there's just so many entertainments in today's world. We can literally hear about 300,000 people dying of a tsunami hitting on the other side of the earth. 2 days later, we forget it, you know, and we're back on the entertainments of the world. And guess what? Who's done this? Satan. He was the one that Jesus said in John chapter 14 was coming down to this world. And he would have no part with him. But our Lord gave us that comforter. You know, He gave us that opportunity to pray. He gave us an opportunity to come to bended knee. And that is where Satan shakes. And that is where Satan trembles. Because he knows we have that power. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where he trembles. Continuing. It says, Satan and his angels are making every effort to obtain control of minds, that men may be swayed by falsehood and pleasing fables. Are our physicians lifting the danger signal? Are the men who have been placed in prominent position in our sanitariums lifting the danger signal? Or are many of the watchmen asleep, with mischievous tongues and acute minds, sharpening by long practice in invading the truth, are continually at work to bring in confusion and to carry out plans instigated by the enemy? He's going to do this, you know? We have to sharpen our swords in this time. We have to stay in His Word. We have to come continually to prayer each and every day. We all have busy lives, you know. We're living in a time where the world has it to where we are so busy. But let's not be too busy for God. It doesn't take much time out to come to Him. Amen. Prayer. It's good to show thyself approved. Amen. You know. Continuing, she writes here, please read Paul's exhortation to the Colossians. He speaks of his earnest desire that the hearts of the believers might be knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, and in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's from Colossians 2:2-3. And this I say, he declares, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through this philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. This is also from Colossians 2, 4 through 9. Love, I tell you, and brethren, love is our key in today's time. We have to overcome. The Lord will give us so many gifts, and it's all for his church. But we have to come to that character of Christ. It starts with doing all things by the love of Christ in our lives. You know, this is how can you obtain this perfection in your life that Jesus said that we must come to? It is the love of Christ who came. You know, it is that kind of love would allow us to overcome even the things that we're falling short of in our own family. We talk about these snares that are in this world out there. We talk about these teachings that are out there. But in our very own home, Satan has caused us to be divided in some homes, even on doctrine, even on how to live our life. Our homes have not become harmonious because of the lack of character in our lives, and it's usually the lack of love that we have, not only in ourselves, but the lack of love of how we share it to one another. You know, we were given other commandments. We have 1 through 4 that dealt with our relationship with God, and then we have 5 through 10 that spoke about how we have to treat one another. You know, examine ourselves and see, are we doing the things necessary to share the love that Christ shared with us? Continuing, it says, she wrote, will the men in our institutions keep silent, allowing insidious fallacies to be proclamated to the ruin of souls? The sentiments of the enemy are being scattered everywhere. Seeds of discord, of unbelief, of infidelity are being sown broadcast, Shall our medical missionary raise the barrier against this evil? Is it not time that we ask ourselves, shall we allow the adversary to lead us to give up the work of proclaiming the truth? Shall we allow him to keep us from being channels through which the blessing of the gospel as a current of life shall flow to the world? This is why, even in this room, in this ministry, we have to take all the emails seriously. We have to take what is shared in this room seriously. We cannot allow these things to be broadcasted. You know, this ministry is not just what we see here in this little room, in this little box. I mean, this goes out to the world. And we need to sharpen our swords. We need to understand that we cannot have fallacies leaking in. We cannot have things that will cause destruction, not only to our own souls, but to many souls out there. We must stay in present truth. We must come on bended knee. We must know that we need the Lord. We know that we cannot be pompous, you know, in our understanding. But we have to proclaim the truth. You know, and we can't allow an adversary to allow these things to sneak in. Because she talked about it was taking place back then. Let every man now arouse and work as he has opportunity. Let him speak words in season and out of season, and look to Christ for encouragement and strength and well-doing. Amen. We must lean on him. Yeah? What does she say? Look to Christ for encouragement and strength in well-doing. What does it say? We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. You know? And we cannot accomplish anything. We cannot accomplish our walk. You know, we cannot accomplish the death of the old man unless we accept Christ to be the center of our life. You know, it is by him, through him, with him, in him. It's all about him, Jesus. You know? It's our only way. We have to pick up our own sacrifice. We have to pick up our own cross. Pick up that cross. It's the power. You know? And he did it for us. And then Brother David, you want to get that next one there? If not, I don't see a bubble. Here we go. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ace. Moving on, dangers continually increasing. The dangers coming upon us are continually increasing. It is a high time that we put on the whole armor of God and work earnestly to keep Satan from gaining any further advantage. Angels of God that excel in strength are waiting for us to call them to our aid, that our faith may not be eclipsed by the fierceness of the conflict. Renewed energy is now needed. Vigilant action is called for. Indifference and sloth will result in the loss of personal religion and of heaven. At this time, the Laodicean message is to be given to arouse some slumbering church. Let the thought of the shortness of time stimulate you to earnest, untiring effort. Remember that Satan had come down with great power to work with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish. For years, our physicians have been trained to think that they must not give expression to sentiments that differ from those of our chief. And there's a reference here is made to Dr. J.H. Kellogg, for many years the medical superintendent of the Battle Creek Sanatorium. And this is from Compilers. Oh, that they have broken the yoke. Oh, that they had called sin by its right name. Then they would not be regarded in the heavenly courts as men who, through bearing weighty responsibilities, have failed of speaking the truth in reproof of that which had been in disobedience to God's word. Physicians, have you been doing the master's business in listening to fanciful and spiritualistic interpretation of the scriptures, interpretations which undermine the foundations of our faith, and holding your peace? God says, neither will I be with you anymore unless you awake and vindicate your Redeemer. And then this is from Sophistries, that undermine the pillars is the title of the next one. My message to you is, no longer consent to listen without protest to the perversion of truth. Unmask the pretentious sophistries which, if received, will lead ministers and physicians and medical missionary works to ignore the truth. Everyone is now to stand on his guard. God calls upon men and women to take their stand under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel. I have been instructed to warn our people, for many are in danger of receiving theories and sophistries that undermine the foundation pillars of the faith. Sometimes our physicians talk for hours when they are weary and perplexed and in no fit condition to talk. Medical missionaries should refuse to hold long night sessions of conversation. These night talks have been times when Satan, with a seductive influence, has stolen away from one and then another the faith once delivered to the saints. Brilliant, sparkling ideas often flash from a mind that is influenced by the great deceiver. Those who listen and acquiesce will become charmed as Eve was charmed by the serpent's words. They cannot listen to charming philosophical speculations and at the same time keep the word of the living God clearly in mind. Our physicians have lost a great deal out of their lives because they have seen wrong transactions and heard wrong words spoken and seen wrong principles followed and have not spoken in reproof for fear that they would be repulsed. I call upon those who have been connected with these binding influences to break the yoke to which they have long submitted and stand as free men in Christ. Nothing but a determined effort will break the spell that is upon them. And the section is the Alpha Now Seen. Be not deceived. Many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We have now before us the Alpha of this danger. The Omega will be a most startling nature. We need to study the words that Christ uttered in the prayer that he offered just before his trial and conviction. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. This is from John 17, verses 1 through 6. Christians to manifest godliness. The righteousness of God is absolute. This righteousness characterizes all his work, all his laws. As God is, so must his people be. The life of Christ is to be revealed in the lives of his followers. We must be Christ-like. In all his public and private acts, in every word and deed, practical godliness was seen. And this godliness is to be seen in the lives of his disciples. Those who heed the light given them will bring the virtues of the character of Christ into the daily life. Christ did no sin because there was no sin in him. God has shown me that the lives of believers are to reveal practical righteousness. Has not God spoken in his word concerning the solemn events which must shortly take place? As you read these things, do you believe what he says? Or have you, through listening to specious philosophy, given up your faith in God? Can any power avert the punishment that must come upon you unless you humble your hearts before God and confess your sins? How is it, my brethren, in the medical missionary work? Does not the living God speak to you from his word concerning the events that are taking place in fulfillment of that word? Soon, the last great reckoning with man will take place. Have your lives been such that you can be weighed in the balances of the sanctuary and not be found wanting? Or has your faith been molded and restricted until it has become unbelief? Has your obedience to men become rebellion against God? Examine yourselves, whether it be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And this is from 2 Corinthians 13:5 and Special Testimony Series B, number 2, 12 and 17. And then Law of Selected Messages, book 1, page 199. And this is a letter titled Beware. This is addressed to Washington, D.C., August 7th, 1904. My dear brother, I am given a message to bear to you and the rest of our physicians who are connected with the Medical Missionary Association. Separate from the influence exerted by the book Living Temple, and there's a note that says, a 568-page book issued in 1903 by Dr. J.H. Kellogg, in which pantheistic philosophies were promulgated. Wow. Compilers. For it contains specious sentiments. There are in it sentiments that are entirely true, but these are mingled with error. Yeah, I was looking at that. It says, my dear brother, but it looks like she's sending it to a medical missionary, someone that's involved in that. Yeah, she's talking about that book, A Living Temple. And she says, there are in it sentiments that are entirely true, but these are mingled with error. That's how Satan likes to work, a little bit of truth and some error in it, so that it's changed completely. Scriptures are taken out of the connection and are used to uphold erroneous theories. The thought of the errors contained in this book has given me great distress, and the experience that I have passed through in connection connection with the matter has nearly cost me my life. It is said that Living Temple has been revised, but the Lord has shown me that the writer has not changed, and that there can be no unity between him and the ministers of the gospel while he continues to cherish his present sentiments. I am bidden to lift my voice in warning to our people, saying, be not deceived, God is not mocked, from Galatians 6:7. You have had access to Testimonies for the Church, Volumes 7 and 8. In these testimonies, a danger signal is raised, but the light so clear and plain to minds that have not been influenced by some deceptive theories has not been discerned by some. While the misleading theories of this book are entertained by our physicians, there cannot be union between them and the ministers who are bearing the gospel message. There should be no union until there is a change. When medical missionaries make their practice an example harmonized with the name they bear, when they feel their need of uniting firmly with the ministers of the gospel, then there can be harmonious action. But we must firmly refuse to be drawn away from the platform of eternal truth, which since 1844 has stood the test. Amen, brother. It's changed with them, not the ministers. And then she has the next topic, Alpha presented in the Living Temple. And she's still talking about that one book by H.J. Kellogg. I am instructed to speak plainly. Meet it is the word spoken to me. Meet it firmly and without delay. But it is not to be met by our taking our working forces from the field to investigate doctrines and points of difference. We have no such investigation to make. In the book, Living Temple, there is presented the Alpha of deadly heresies. The Omega will follow and will be received by those who are not willing to heed the warning God has given. Our physicians, upon whom important responsibilities rest, should have a clear spiritual discernment. They are to stand constantly on guard. Dangers that we do not now discern will soon break upon us, and I greatly desire that they shall not be deceived. I have an intense longing to see them standing free in the Lord. I pray that they may have courage to stand firm for the truth as it is in Jesus, holding fast the beginning of their confidence unto the end. And this is from Special Testimony, Series B, number 2, 49 and 50. Then we're in Selected Messages, Book 1, page 201, Chapter 25, The Foundation of Our Faith. And this article appeared in Special Testimony, Series B, Number 2, pages 51 through 59, published in 1904. The Lord will put new vital force into his work as human agencies obey the command to go forth and proclaim the truth. He who declared that his truth would shine forever will proclaim its truth through faithful messengers who will give the trumpet a certain sound. The truth will be criticized, scorned, and derided, but the closer it is examined and tested, the brighter it will shine. As a people, we ought to stand firm on the platform of eternal truth that has withstood test and trial. We are to hold to the sure pillars of our faith. The principles of truth that God has revealed to us are our only true foundation. They have made us what we are. The lapse of time has not lessened their value. It is a constant effort of the enemy to remove these truths from their setting and to put in their place spurious theories. He will bring in everything that he possibly can to carry out his deceptive designs, but the Lord will raise up men of keen perception. It will give these truths their proper place in the plan of God. I have been instructed by the heavenly messenger that some of the reasoning in the book Living Temple is unsound, and that this reasoning would lead astray the minds of those who are not thoroughly established on the foundation principles of present truth. It introduces that which is not but speculation in regard to the personality of God and where his presence is. No one on this earth has a right to speculate on this question. The more fanciful theories are discussed, the less men will know of God and of the truth that sanctifies the soul. One and another come to me, asking me to explain the positions taken in a living temple. I reply, they are inexplainable. The sentiments expressed do not give a true knowledge of God. All through the book are passages of Scripture. These Scriptures are brought in such a way that error is made to appear as truth. Erroneous theories are presented in so pleasing a way that unless care is taken, many will be misled. We need not the mysticism that is in this book. Those who entertain these sophistries will soon find themselves in a position where the enemy can talk with them and lead them away from God. It is represented to me that the writer of this book is on a false track. He has lost sight of this distinguishing truth for this time. He knows not whither his steps are tending. The track of truth lies close behind the track of error, and both tracks may seem to be one to minds which are not worked by the Holy Spirit, and which, therefore, are not quick to discern the difference between truth and error. And Brother Ace, you want to take it from here, a view of approaching danger?
Amen. Okay, we have a view of approaching danger. It's right here. About the time that Living Temple was published, there passed before me in the night season representations indicating that some danger was approaching, and that I must prepare for it by writing out the things God had revealed to me regarding the foundation principles of our faith. A copy of Living Temple was sent me, but it remained in my library, unread. From the light given me by the Lord, I knew that some of the sentiments advocated in the book did not bear the endorsement of God, and that they were a snare that the enemy had prepared for the last days. I tell you, brethren, in some opportunities that I've had sharing with some people, and it just may appear that they're like-minded because they're Sabbath keepers. It may appear because they do read Ellen G. White books and they do proclaim her messages. I tell you, we're living in a time, and we're talking about these last days today, that there are many brethren out there that are also twisting SOP. And they've been twisting the Bible for centuries here, you know? Even in today's time, they're not twisting the SOP, and they're creating a new foundation of truth. They're creating some fanatical viewpoints. And one of the things that is always being attacked, it appears, is the Godhead and the understanding of the Godhead, the mystery of the Godhead. But they seem to always want to take away the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is God, but some will say he's a God. You know, some will say he had a beginning. You know, he was a creation. We find also that many are saying that the Holy Spirit is not part of the Godhead. Yeah, SOP is the spirit of prophecy. I mean, these fanatical viewpoints are with us today. But the scary part is they're getting stronger, and they are leading our brethren astray. You know, we have to stay in the Word. We have to stay in the Word, because when we see these events taking place and we are witnessing these things, we can only pray. You know, the Word tells us to pray. Pray for them, but also pray that we don't get snared one day. You know? And continuing, Church, I thought that this would surely be discerned and that it would not be necessary for me to say anything about it. In the controversy that arose among our brethren regarding the teaching of this book, those in favor of giving a wide circulation declared, it contains the very sentiments that Sister White has been teaching. This assertion struck right to my heart. I felt heartbroken, she says, for I knew that this representation of the matter was not true. So there again, we have people putting words in her mouth, right? Saying things that they say she said this, you know, that this is what she's been teaching. How's happening then? What about today? She's no longer alive to speak. But the Lord allowed her to pen these things, you know? And even the very things that were penned are being changed today. We have to be on guard. We have to be on guard. Finally, my son said to me, Mother, you ought to read at least some parts of the book that you may see whether they are in harmony with the light that God has given you. He sat down beside me, and together we read the preface and most of the first chapter, and also paragraphs in other chapters. As we read, I recognized the very sentiments against which I had been bidden to speak in warning during the early days of my public labors. When I first left the state of Maine, I was to go through Vermont and Massachusetts to bear a testimony against these sentiments. Living Temple contains the alpha of these theories. I knew that the omega would follow in a little while, and I trembled for our people. I knew that I must warn our brethren and sisters not to enter into controversy over the presence and personality of God. The statements made in Living Temple in regard to this point are incorrect. The scriptures used to substantiate the doctrine there set forth is scripture misapplied. And that is how they do it. This is how Satan works. You know? We are told he's cunning. He's the most cunning beast of the field, the most subtle beast of the field. He's also crafty. He's always been crafty. He can take the truth and turn it into a lie. This we know. We know that. And this he will continue. But he preys on our weakness. Remember, he's been around. He's been around from the beginning of when the lies started. And he knows everything they used against us. He works our own character against us. Yeah? In continuing, she writes, I am compelled to speak in denial of the claim that the teachers of Living Temple can be sustained by statements from my writings. There may be in this book expressions and sentiments that are in harmony with my writings, and there may be in my writings many statements which, taken from their connection and interpreted according to the mind of the writer of Living Temple, would seem to be in harmony with the teachings of this book. This may give apparent support to the assertions that the sentiments in Living Temple are in harmony with my writings. But God forbids that this sentiment should prevail. Few can discern the result of entertaining the sophistries advocated by some at this time. But the Lord has lifted the curtain and has shown me the result that would follow. What she says here. The spiritualistic theories regarding the personality of God followed to their logical conclusion sweep away the whole Christian economy. They estimate as nothing the light that Christ came from heaven to give John to give to his people. They teach that the scene just before us are not of sufficient importance to be given special attention. They make of no effect the truth of heavenly origin and rob the people of God of their past experience, giving them instead a false science. In a vision of the night, I was shown distinctively that these sentiments have been looked upon by some as the grand truths that are to be brought in and made prominent at the present time. I was shown a platform braced by solid timbers, the truths of the Word of God. Somewhat high in responsibility in the medical work was directing this man, and that man to loosen the timber supporting this platform. Then I heard a voice saying, "Where are the watchmen that ought to be standing on the walls of Zion? Are they asleep?" This foundation was built by the master worker, Jesus Christ, and will stand storm and tempest? Will they permit this man to present doctrines that deny the past experience of the people of God? The time has come to take decided action. The enemy of soul has sought to bring in the supposition that a great reformation was to take place among Seventh-day Adventists, and that this reform would consist in giving up the doctrines which stand as the pillars of our faith and engage in a process of reorganization. And she's speaking about that specific time. Were this reformation to take place, what would result? The principles of truth that God in His wisdom has given to the remnant church would be discarded. Our religion would be changed. The fundamental principles that have sustained the work for the last 50 years would be accounted as error. A new organization would be established. Books of a new order would be written. A system of intellectual philosophy would be introduced. The founders of this system would go into the cities and do a wonderful work. I tell you. Yeah, I remember the David. The Sabbath, of course, would be lightly regarded as also the God who created it. Nothing would be allowed to stand in the way of the new movement. The leaders would teach that virtue is better than vice, but God being removed, they would place their dependence on human power, which, without God, is worthless. Their foundation would be built on sand, and storm and tempest would sweep away the destruction. Who has authority to begin such a movement? We have our Bibles. We have our experience attested to the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit. We have a truth that admits no compromise. We shall have no repudiate. Everything that is not in harmony with this truth I hesitated and delayed about the sending out of that which the Spirit of the Lord impelled me to write. I did not want to be compelled to present the misleading influence of the sophistries. But in the providence of God, the errors that have been coming in must be met. It must be met. I tell you today, now, where we are standing right now in this time, we have to safeguard what the Lord has given us. You know, in us striving to stand, of us wanting to be part of that Gideon band. The Word talks about unity. You know, SOP talked about unity. We must be unified in truth. You know, what hastened the Lord's coming will be when His servants are sealed. You know, we must get this loud cry. We must allow the three angel messages to go about. But we cannot allow the foundation of God's truth to change. You know, the Lord needs us as vessels. He needs to have His work done through us. You know, there's no time like now. Today, this Sabbath day, that we should get on bended knee and pray and ask the Lord to use us. The delay is by us today. The delay is within His people. The Seventh-day Adventist movement at that time, they had their opportunity to get that work done. The Lord could have came if they would have gotten the work done. But there is a last hour. After the 11th hour is finished, there's no more hours on the clock. It is over. But it's our opportunity to be in that 11th hour, finishing work to bring on the hastening of our Lord. We have that opportunity today, brother. We have that opportunity today. But do we have that desire? You know, we have to ask ourselves, do we have that desire? Do we want to be part of the ones who stand before the Lord? Do we want to be the ones that will sing that song of experience, that song of Moses? We have the opportunity. It's not just for one person. It's not just for Brother Nick or Brother Rob. You know, it's just not, we are many members in that body of Christ. He needs every last one of us. He needs the talents to be used to glorify Him. We need the health message. We need it all. We all have a part to do. We have a price to pay. We have a sacrifice that should take place. Let me just see how long this last one is here. Yeah, we can definitely finish this. Okay. All right, in continuing here, I think so, sister. Yeah. All right, an iceberg meet it. Okay, sounds interesting. Shortly before I sent out the testimonies regarding the efforts of the enemy to undermine the foundation of our faith, though the dissemination of seductive theories, I had read an incident about a ship in a fog meeting an iceberg. For several nights I slept but little. I seemed to be bowed down as a cart beneath shaves. One night a scene was clearly presented before me. A vessel was upon the waters in a heavy fog. Suddenly, the lookout cried, "Iceberg just ahead." There, towering high above the ship, was a gigantic iceberg. An authoritative voice cried out, "Meet it!" There was not a moment hesitation. It was a time for instant action. The engineer put on full steam, and the man at the wheel steered the ship straight into the iceberg. With a crash, he struck the iceberg. There was a fearful shock, and the iceberg broke into many pieces, falling with a noise like thunder to the deck. The passengers were violently shaken by the force of the collision, but no lives were lost. The vessel was injured, but not beyond repair. She rebounded from the contact. Trembling from stem to stem, from stem to stern, like a living creature, then she moved forward on her way. Well, I knew the meaning of this representation. I had my orders. I had heard the words, like a voice from our captain, "Meet it." I knew that my duty was, and that there was not a moment to lose. The time for decided action had come. I must, without delay, obey the command, "Meet it." That night I was up at 1 o'clock, writing as fast as my hand could pass over the paper. For the next few days, I worked early and late, preparing for our people the instruction given me regarding the errors that were coming in among us. I had been hoping that there would be a thorough reformation, and the principles for which we fought in the early days and which we were brought out in the power of the Holy Spirit would be maintained. Amen. Yeah. The time is now. This Sabbath day, this meeting right now, this gathering, this is where we have to meet it. We talked about there should be no delay in each and every one of us. We don't come to this room for entertainment. We come to be spiritually fed. You know, the Lord penned most of these things. The Holy Spirit penned these things. You know, and it was given to us. Not to just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word also. The Lord can't use someone that's dormant, you know? His blessing goes for naught. You know, he uses us for a reason. And the time is now. You know, the time is now for us to be bold, to give the voice, use the very voice that the God, that the Lord gave us, that we were born with. You know, he gave us this from very birth. then let us use it at the very end to edify him. You know, let us go boldly. You know, we're living in a time today where the opportunity is now. I mean, this is a great way to end this this subject tonight, to meet it. You know, we have to meet it. Yeah, amen, brother. Amen. Amen. I see it's 11:01. I do not want to delay us. It is Sabbath. It is a day of rest. We praise the Lord for tonight. You know, we praise the Lord for his word that was written already. He has always prepared his children throughout the centuries. And he is preparing us now to do a great work. I pray as we go to our beds, we go to our knees, and we pray tonight, and we pray as a family, or whether we're alone in our prayers, ask the Lord to send you someone. Ask the Lord to send you one of his lost sheep. The gospel has to be preached in these four corners. The three angels' message must be given. This warning must be given to our Christian brethren across this world. But the Lord wants to use us to have that work done. I pray that we have that heart open enough and that mind open enough to hear him. You know, he's speaking to us. He spoke to Noah in those days. His spirit will depart very soon, brethren. And probation will close. Let us be among the ones that will stand. Let us be among the ones that will be risen. Let us be the ones that will be part of the first fruits in that first resurrection. That second resurrection has no power. Let us strive each and every day. And praise the Lord for tonight, and praise the Lord for all of you, you know, that we can come together and share each and every Sabbath night. And as we start our Sabbath in communion with God, praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. All right. Keep in memory, brethren, all the ones that we lift up in prayer tonight. Most of you should have gotten some emails on who they are, what they need. And remembering Brother Nick, Sister Fran, and Brother Luke, their son, and their requests for prayer for them. We thank the Lord for our watchmen. We thank the Lord for the sacrifice in which a household must take place. The sacrifice is by them all. You know, that is a unity. That is a family there that is striving to do the Lord's work for us. So keep them in prayer. And we just thank the Lord for all the trials that come before us. Okay? And we're going to close in prayer right now, brother. Thank you, Matthew. Let us... Let's get on bended knee, please. That's a closing prayer. Let's remember also tomorrow, brethren, service starts with the children's study. Starts at Eastern Standard Time at 12 o'clock. Okay? Let us get on bended knee. Let us bow our hearts, bow our heads. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for thy spirit. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us, bringing all things to our memory in which we need that should edify your church. We thank you for bridling our tongues tonight as we spoke. We strive that you may be glorified in all which is said, which is shared. Father, we love you and we praise you. We just thank you for the plan of salvation. We thank you for which was done for us and which we could not have done, which we could have never accomplished. We thank you for sending your precious son and the willingness of your son to come on his own accord to die for us. And Father, we do not understand nor can we comprehend what kind of love that is that you have for us. But Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us the thing that we don't even understand, the love of sending your precious son to die at Calvary on that cross for us, that we may have this opportunity to have everlasting life. But we say thank you through obedience as we strive to do your every work, your every command, your every law, your every precept. And Father, we just love you. We lift up all the brethren here, Father, tonight, and their loved ones, and all the ones that surround them. We even lift up the ones that come against us, Father, because we know you love them too. And we know no servant is greater than his master. So knowing what was done to our Lord and Savior, well, then should be our doings also. It will come to us. But Father, we understand you must go through great tribulation in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Father, we are sinners, but we desire to overcome our sins. And we desire to come to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the forgiveness of sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. We lift up each and every one tonight. We lift up Brother Nick and his family. We ask that thy will be done. And Father, I lift up some of the unspoken that I have in my family and some of the grieving hearts which is taking place right now for the death of my uncle. I lift them up to you, Father. And I pray that thy will be done upon us all. Father, keep us under your wings. Keep that hedge of protection upon us tonight. Allow us to find that rest. Allow us to find that love in you as we sleep. We just love you, we praise you, and we shall glorify you in everything that we should do and that we will do until we see you split that sky. We ask for the blessings in Jesus' most powerful, most wonderful name.